This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. Jamie's off. Belton joining me, our game day analyst. Ole Miss.
Let's go, Luck. Oh boy.
That was an old fashioned whooping.
Man, that was the leather belt right to the backside. Yes.
Yes. So, you got to help me out here. I don't follow college ball as closely as you do. So, were they favored to win, or was the outcome a bit of a surprise? Help me out here.
No, Ole Miss was favored to win.
Okay.
You know, I did. You know, I know we beat them early on in the season, but you know, when you beat somebody, you expect the other team to kind of stand their ground a little bit better, right? And figure out some things here and there, but I was only worried because, to me, it was a really big game, and I just like to keep my mouth shut. I don't like talking smack.
Yeah.
After the fact.
So again, the coaching situation—that was a complete nightmare. But that team rallied, and did you get the sense that this team is getting behind the new coaching staff, or was this the players? I kind of called this.
You did call it, Lock. I remember it. And, you know, I think it's a combination, right? Because, you know, the coaches got to make sure the guys are prepared and everything. And the players are the ones that go out there and, you know, put in the effort and execute. And so I do think it was a combination of both. And with that win, when they beat Tulane this past weekend, you know, I'm already looking for the next game. I already got people from Georgia calling me. I got my friends here in Saskatchewan that are Georgia Bulldog fans. Oh, let's have a house party, get together. And, you know, me, Belton, I'm just going to be quiet here because I think Ole Miss should have beaten the Bulldogs early on, or, you know, during the regular season.
Okay.
So I'm hoping we'll get a little revenge here. Well,
nice. So that's the next step. Can you give us your expectations for this Ole Miss team?
Well, one, the game is down in New Orleans. It's at the Sugar Bowl and the Superdome there, right, where the Saints play. So to me, this is another home game, if you will, because,
yeah,
you know, lots of Mississippi people live in New Orleans and vice versa. And, you know, I expect us offensively to keep putting on a good show. I'm worried defensively just a little bit. I am. And, again, when you play teams that you – again, the Ole Miss, when they played the Georgia Bulldogs regular season, they had the lead all the way up to the fourth quarter, and we lost by 3 points. So Georgia was able to score 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So I'm looking for our defense to step it up a couple notches here.
One of my favorite trips that I ever did with my wife is we went down to New Orleans before Katrina. So and it was just spectacular. And I got to go back.
Great city.
Oh,
great city, man.
So much fun. We were out of the French Quarter too. We had a couple of we had a waiter give us a suggestion at who's the BAM guy? BAM, the cook. He's got a restaurant down there.
Emeril Lagasse.
Lagasse. Yeah, we were at his restaurant. We went there for my birthday, and we talked to the waiter and said, "Hey, where do the locals go to watch music?" And he told us about this section just outside of the quarter. He goes, "Go there," and that was our vacation. Like literally, we would go do a couple tourist things in the day, go to the place that serves the donuts, the beignets.
Beignets.
And then we would walk around, do something. That night, we just went and hung out at that place, and there was like two or three bars in there. It was so fantastic.
The best spots just off the beaten path there a little bit.
100%. All right. Let's talk about DK Metcalf. I don't know if you saw it, but he got two games for taking a swipe at a fan. I don't think he made contact, but that's not the point. He will not be in the lineup for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the remaining of the season. Just how dumb is it to one, to engage with a fan that's clearly trying to get under your skin, and then two, doing something like that. It's just so stupid.
Wait, you got to keep your composure, right? No matter what. And, you know, when I saw the video at first, I thought maybe the fan had done something to him, but then I saw another video that showed things early on and looked like DK actually grabbed the fan, pulled him down, and then, you know, swung at him there a little bit. So as a player, you keep your composure, you stay, you know, why are you even over there interacting with the fan?
Yeah.
I have no idea, right? And because this is what happens. You get, and I'm sure he suspended two games, but I'm sure there's some monetary fine probably in there as well, because I guess he's going to miss two paychecks, right? And he gets paid pretty good, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever remember a time in your playing career, whether it was in college or where you got into it with a fan? I know you well enough to know that you're not taking a swing at anybody. But
I didn't take a swing at anybody, but it was when I was with the Ticats and I came back here to play the Riders. And, you know, I had a great game myself, but the Riders, they beat us. And all I could hear over there on that bench were the fans mocking me and making fun of me for losing. And I had enough, Locke. And I just turned around. I didn't throw up the middle finger, but I gave the old arm across and the hand up right there. And I, honestly, I thought I was going to get fired for that, because I was like, oh, my God, what did I do, right? Like,
yeah.
I did not want to lose out on a paycheck.
Yeah. By the way, just to give you an update, I don't know if you checked it out. We're doing really, really well in the celebrity pick'em pool. You and I are carrying Britain. Jamie had a huge weekend. He went four for zero, so he's back in the game. But yeah, Britain's our boat anchor right now. But we have 4 points on the FM jocks, which is nice to see.
Hey, long as we're winning, right? If we win by one, we won a lot.
That's all it takes.
But if we could get Britain on board, we could get more points.
You know what? He's got to stop going to Mexico. He's sitting by the pool. He's got to start paying Britain, attention to the game. Man. Come on.
Taking all that tequila and stuff. Come on, man.
Belton, a quick note about tonight's game. Britain and I went over all the playoff implications. This past weekend was nuts, and a bunch of teams have clinched. But this is a really interesting game, because you've got Grandpa Rivers, 44 years of age, hasn't taken a snap until last weekend after a couple of years off from the league. I think it was like 3 or 4 years been sitting at home. Again, my theory is he's got 10 kids. He's broke. He had to come back and play. So anyway, are you intrigued by these old guys and what they're able to accomplish in the league? Or is it one of those things where it's like, what are you doing? You should have stayed home. Where are you at?
I'm like, what are you doing? You should have stayed home. I'm just saying, like, 4 years, come on, man. Like, the game is passing by. My brother says it best. Football is a young man's game. And Phillip Rivers, he's not a young man. And I'm just sitting there with my popcorn waiting on one of those hits to happen, where he gets a really good hit. You know, don't want him to get hurt or anything, but, you know, with the blitzes and everything, the way I saw him move last week,
he's going to take one.
He looked like a grandpa out there.
That's fantastic. I'm intrigued. I don't know why, and I don't even want to admit it. I'm intrigued to this Aaron Rodgers thing with Pittsburgh, too. I can't believe that he has got this team into a playoff position this year. It's nuts.
And Rodgers, he's got a pretty darn good arm on him still, too, right? And, you know, offensively, I don't know. I don't like them offensively. Defensively, I love the Steelers. The offense is just kind of, you know,
sporadic.
It is sporadic. Like, yeah. You know, the week before, you know, Aaron Rodgers goes out, throws deep shots to Metcalf left and right. I'm like, holy, there's some explosion. And, you know, last week here, the only big play I remember is that, you know, he threw it to the running back, Kenneth Gainwell, and they were ready to overrule that. It was a no catch. The replay showed, nope, that was a catch. He ran in for a touchdown. That, to me, that was the only big play I saw the Steelers had that game.
Yeah. What did you think of the call at the end of the game that, that lost the game for the Lions?
I don't know if the knee touched down for Amon-Ra. Like, I don't know if they blew the whistle, you know, because it was, he was held up. What, 2-3 guys are on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, the players kept playing. And I think even with Rodgers, some of the guys on the Steelers, you know, I saw them put their hand on their head, like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised they called that back. But, yeah.
I don't know that. I thought it was a touchdown, but
they
called it what they called it.
All right, listen, you have a great Christmas, a great holiday season, my friend.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and family.
Yeah, you too. And I've enjoyed my conversations and our hits with our weekly hits with you, Belton. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, likewise, Lock. You have a good one.
Good eats, too. You have a good one. Take care, my friend.
Bye.
All right, coming up next, we will find out if we had a winner with Tic Tac 20, which, by the way, you can still sign up for. We'll get to that next. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker, by myself today. The Green Zone Tic Tac 20. We play this on Saturdays. And by the way, a heads up on this. We will have a contestant announcement tomorrow because essentially we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. So we have to let you know who's playing for the $300 jackpot. I'm giving it away. We didn't get a winner this past weekend. Tomorrow on the Green Zone. So you can sign up now. CJME.com or CKOM.com. Go to the contest section. It takes very little time to let us know that you want to play, and you can do that at any point during the season, and it's easy. All you're looking for is us to call your name out, and then on the list of Saturday games, someone needs to score in the first period in the first 20 seconds. We've had four winners already. We've already been giving away a bunch of cash. Again, no winner this past Saturday. Liza Adine, I believe is how you say her name. She missed out on a $200 jackpot. We'll try again tomorrow. By the way, the closest goal was a minute five Red Wings win over the Caps. That was John Leonard's first of the season. So that was the closest that Liza got. Yes, go sign up. Listen tomorrow. We'll let you know who's playing tomorrow. We're still taking your what's wrong with the Leafs texts and calls. 877-332-8255. This one kind of got into it here. From Ray. The Leafs aren't particularly deep outside of the top four players. Their defense isn't mobile or dynamic, and the goaltending mediocre. I don't know. I think they've gotten decent goaltending through the course of the season. I mean, when you start comparing goaltending to the rest of the league, I mean, there's a couple of exceptions, but everyone's kind of dealing with the same thing. For the last few years, they've been riding Matthews' coattails, and eventually that had to come down to earth. Plus, they basically allowed an elite scorer to walk. You win as a team, you lose as a team. That is Ray from Saskatoon. And again, still taking your thoughts, 877-332-8255. Time now for the one-minute drill. Here's Britton Gray.
Caleb Sanders will be back in Ryder Green. The defensive lineman has signed an extension with the CFL club. He played a big role along the defensive line and was a key member of the team's stout rushing defense. The Kansas City Chiefs are on the move, but it's not too far. The NFL team announced it will move from the Missouri side of Kansas City to the Kansas one as a new stadium will be built there. It is expected they will start to play there in 2031. Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf will miss the rest of the regular season for physically confronting a fan. Reports are he has been suspended 2 games. The San Francisco 49ers will be aiming to extend their NFL win streak to 5 in a row tonight when they visit the Indianapolis Colts in the final game of Week 16. And there are 4 games in the NHL tonight, including one in Philadelphia, where the Flyers will attempt to snap the visiting Vancouver Canucks 4-game win streak. That's your Green Zone Sports. I'm Britton Gray.
Who painted your favorite goalie's mask? Might be Jordan Bourgeau. He's up next, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Worked quite a bit with goalies and goalie masks, which is very interesting. It's not the only thing that you do, but you're well known for it. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah. Lately, about like 5 years ago, I got kind of into the NHL, and now from that sort of notoriety, I get just like a lot of goalie masks. But I do some other things, helmets, motorcycles, even some canvas work here and there. But lately, my lineup is pretty much mostly filled with goalie masks.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And all leagues, not just the NHL, I'm guessing.
Yeah, a lot of NHL. I did one for the KHL this year as well, and then sometimes there's some junior leagues as well. But and then just also sometimes like beer league guys and like kids and stuff, they'll get in on my sort of off season, not in the crazy NHL time.
And this keeps you busy 24/7.
Oh my goodness, dude! It keeps me so busy. I worked just because it gets really crazy around the start of hockey season, because
yeah,
everyone needs it for like the same exact day. So I worked here like 4 months without taking a day off. I just finally took a day off getting through my craziest rush, but and long days. I was working 14-15 hour days without a day off. It's crazy right now. And then the rest of the season is crazy too, but it gets real wild near the beginning of hockey season.
Have you heard from Tristan Jarry yet for the Edmonton Oilers?
I haven't. No, I don't paint for him. I do actually. Am buddies with the guy who does, though. So it's a pretty like small niche
group.
Little group. So I think most of us kind of know each other a bit.
That's interesting. And you're based in Calgary, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm in Calgary. Yes.
You're not a Flames fan, are you?
Yeah, no, I am a Flames fan. I'll say though, I was painting for them before. I painted all of Markstrom's masks when he was on the Flames, but now I don't paint for Wolves, so I'm no longer painting for the Flames. And I will say that my attention is like, it's divvied up a little bit more because I got guys on different teams. So
yeah.
Flames have always been my team, but now I'm like, and we're kind of in like an open relationship now. You know, I still like them, but I'm looking around, you know, I'm looking, watching other teams too.
That is fair. How did you get into painting goalie masks, Jordan?
Well, so, I worked at a job where I was doing like more sort of industrial painting or automotive painting. And I could draw, like I drew when I was younger. So everyone there was like, oh, you should get an airbrush, because it's sort of like the automotive art tool. And then I was just messing around on my own stuff and practicing. And then I painted a few helmets for some people. And then almost as soon as I was half decent, anybody who was a goalie was like, oh, you should paint my goalie mask. Just being in Canada and hockey's such a thing here, right?
Yeah.
So that led pretty quickly into painting goalie masks. It's just like a bit of a thing if you're an airbrusher.
I'm very interested in the creative process with respect to this, because goalies are, well, they skate on a different pond, shall we say, and they can be very different, and I'm guessing they could also be very wildly creative. What's the creative process when you start a relationship with somebody that wants you to do a mask? Are they involved on any level, or do they, like, how much? I guess it depends on the goalie, but do they come to you with a couple of ideas, kind of like a tattoo artist, right? Almost.
Definitely, it is like that. So it depends on the goalie. Like sometimes they're like, they're crazy with it and they've got everything mapped out. Like they'll even do a little rough draw themselves.
Wow.
And then other times it's just as loose as like a theme. Even some of the guys are like, I don't even know. They're like, I've been on the same team for so long, I got no new ideas. What do you got? So it really ranges. And usually what happens is we have like, we have a phone call, and then, we'll riff some ideas, and then I'll do a draw for them. Like I do it on like my iPad, and then I can just send them a digital version of it.
Okay.
And then they can decide like to make some changes or anything like that. And usually there's a couple, well, these days there's not too many back and forths, but like, you know, if they need me to change anything, I can change it or add something. And then we basically both decide upon that idea that we like it. And from there, I'll use that like as my reference to start painting the mask.
Now, I've seen you on Twitter and on Instagram, and the process of getting your artwork on the mask seems, it's very interesting. Is there a way that you can break it down on how you get that final product on a goalie mask?
Yeah, I mean, mostly what I do is I cover the whole mask in this sort of paper tape. It's like a fat roll of tape.
Yeah.
And then I can draw the design right on it, and then I cut the different kind of color sections, and I'll peel off that section, paint, cover it back up.
Okay.
And it won't get like hit with my overspray, because, you know, an airbrush is kind of like a small spray paint can. It just sprays the paint. So then I can just like do each section, and then at the end I kind of unmask it all, and I'll use a brush to go around some of the edges and an airbrush to sort of smooth out my edges.
Yeah.
And then it gets like an automotive clear coat on it, so it's as strong as it can be. They'll still get chips, especially at the NHL level. They take pretty hard slap shots, but it protects it pretty good. And then it's, you know, ready to go on the ice.
So do you do a lot of repair work too?
Not really. The NHL guys usually just have it for one season, and then they kind of use their chips as like battle damage that they don't really mind. Okay. If something got like excessively beat up and they wanted to keep it as a showpiece on the wall after, I can touch it up for them.
Okay.
But usually there's just, you know, some chips on the chin, maybe the back, because sometimes they slap against the crossbar and get some damage. But they'll usually just have a few chips, and since they only use it one season now, they'll retire it. Guys used to use masks for multiple seasons and they would get really beat up.
Yeah.
But now they got actually multiple masks a season, and, you know, they don't take as much damage that way.
So how many masks in a year, roughly, do you think you do?
Well, I don't do a lot. There's guys who put out a lot, and they'll paint, you know, a few a week. And I mostly paint about one a month. So I'm pretty slow. This busy season here, I was working so much, I got that down to like a couple of weeks of mask, but just by putting in tons of hours.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot. Like right now in the NHL, I think I only have 4 or 5 masks going.
Okay.
But some of those guys, they do a lot more, and they'll have 20 guys out there. So I'm a bit more of like a niche guy. I do the high detail stuff, and I do fewer. So more quality than quantity for me.
And what is the more interest? Do you have a favorite mask that you've done, or is that's probably pretty difficult to
yeah, it's ever changing. I mean, I like to think that, like, I'm always trying to do my best job, so my most recent mask should be my best one.
Yeah,
it doesn't always work out that way, you know, depending on the idea and the theme and everything, but yeah. I try and do my best, and I think this time it's pretty true. I just finished a bit ago one for Montembeau on Montreal Canadiens.
Okay.
And it's like a snakes one, so it's got like, it's just like a big twisted knot of snakes.
I saw that one on your Instagram.
Yeah, he hasn't worn it yet, I don't think, but he probably will be soon. And I think I'm really liking that one. It was crazy detail. Some of the snakes are like snake skeletons, so there's all the cool kind of rib cage bones coming down, and
yeah.
It's a pretty detailed one. I think currently it's my fave.
Very cool. Do you have a dream job? Are you just waiting for the phone to ring?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, I like some of the big name guys. I always kind of wanted to do one for Quick, so I think that ship has sailed, because I always liked his kind of knight in shining armor. You know, the knight helmet. I thought that would be a cool one to do. Flower would have been cool. I don't know, but any of the big guys, like I'd like to do. You know, Vasilevsky, or I don't know. Any of the bigger names is obviously better. And that's mostly what I do, because I do so few. So I kind of only do the main kind of starter guys. I don't really have a lot of the, you know, the guys that get called up and down.
Yeah.
I don't only have so much space. So kind of the bigger the guys, or the guys that have been with me for a while, they'll kind of get priority.
Yeah, that makes sense. Jordan, we should send people to your social media to check it out. So let us know where you'd like to, people to go. I know your stuff goes viral on TikTok all the time, but probably send people to your Instagram is where I saw You're on Twitter, but sure. I like how Instagram sort of presented you and your work.
Yeah, sure. Instagram is probably the one I'm the most active on anyway. But all of them, I'm just called JBO Airbrush. So it's JBO Airbrush. And that's on mostly any social media platform.
He's a really cool follow. Jordan Bourgeau. Glad I got a chance to chat with him. He does unbelievable work as well. You might want to go check him out. We're still taking your texts and calls. Green Zone Fan Line, 877-332-8255. We've had an underlying conversation today. What's wrong with the Leafs? Carson, the Leafs' issues are their captain is an American, first of all. Nylander would rather focus on designer outfits that he wears to the game before the game itself. They have big issues in Leaf Nation. I don't know if I would suggest that Matthews being from another country is an issue, but I just don't think he's the guy for the job, the captain. I think it was a bad move to take it away from Tavares, in my opinion. You want to send a message to the underperformers? Start benching guys. That includes Matthews and Nylander. We got that text. This came in from John from Ituna. I predicted this happening when Marner left, period. He actually was the driving force, not Matthews. He made everyone look better. John, Leafs fan forever. So people now are upset that Marner is gone. The Leafs, who cares? The only purpose is to be the laughingstock of the league. Job done. That's from Paul from Regina. So he's enjoying this. I will say this. I don't cheer for the Leafs, but I've actually felt bad for Leaf fans this year. I've always been very, very enthralled with the fact that the Leafs get into the first round of the playoffs and then they lose game seven. I've always enjoyed that, but this year it's actually been, even for someone who doesn't cheer for this team, it has been hard to watch. Dion from Regina, as a lifelong Habs fan, absolutely enjoy the free fall. Nobody's more irritating in sports than Leafs fans, and they deserve everything they get. 1967 was a long time ago. Leafs' favorite number, 4. I will say this. I think it's a misnomer to call out one particular fan base being worse than another, because every fan base, I think, has irritating fans. I think it's in every fan base. You can find very, very annoying Oilers fans. You can find very, very annoying Canucks fans. You can find very, very annoying Flames fans, and so on and so on. It's just you put 100 guys in a room, there's going to be a couple of jack wagons. Nothing is wrong with the Leafs. Just let them be. I enjoy watching the fall. That's Chris from Warman. And also this one came in from Carter. I don't know what's wrong with the Maple Leafs, but I'm loving it. Again, if you want to weigh in at any point for any discussion, 877-332-8255. This is CJME and CKOM.
Winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Daily here on the Green Zone. One champ, one chump. Do I have a champ today? I do, actually. I just thought I had a bunch of chumps. I will say this. I have not been in Saskatchewan long. And most of you have probably figured out that I live in Regina. Jamie and I live in Regina. We try to get up to Saskatoon as much as we possibly can, but we're based here. And I cannot believe that after my first year here, my taxes are going up 11%. I have had 3 or 4 conversations with people, and they are livid. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but if you're involved with city council and you've somehow justified this in your mind, you're insane. You're insane that you're doing this to this population. I actually think that we should chump city council for the rest of the year. Not this. I'm talking 2026. Every day at this time we should be chumping this city cup. 11%. I thought Jamie was going to have a seizure the other day when we brought this up. I'm also chumping DK Metcalf for taking a swing at a fan. I'm chumping the fan. You're clearly an idiot. And also, I'm championing Anthony Joshua. We'll leave it at that. Time now for the one-minute drill with Britton Gray.
Caleb Sanders will be back in Ryder Green. The defensive lineman has signed an extension with the CFL club. He played a big role along the defensive line and was a key member of the team's stout rushing defense. The Kansas City Chiefs are on the move, but it's not too far. The NFL team announced it will move from the Missouri side of Kansas City to the Kansas one as a new stadium will be built there. It is expected they will start to play there in 2031. Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf will miss the rest of the regular season for physically confronting a fan. Reports are he has been suspended 2 games. The San Francisco 49ers will be aiming to extend their NFL win streak to 5 in a row tonight when they visit the Indianapolis Colts in the final game of Week 16. And there are 4 games in the NHL tonight, including one in Philadelphia, where the Flyers will attempt to snap the visiting Vancouver Canucks 4-game win streak. That's your Green Zone Sports. I'm Britton Gray.
And I'm out of here. Back tomorrow, once again, a Nihilist program. But we will have, if you missed it today, Jamie Nye's 'Twas the Nigh Before Christmas. That's it for me. Drive safe. Have a great night. 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.